The Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the right move to release Donovan Smith on Tuesday. That and more on today's episode of Locked On Bucs.
Your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and the 10 Tampa Bay Plus app you can find on your Roku device or Amazon Fire Stick. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, finally rejoined by my good buddy, Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay and 10tampabay.com. I think it's been exactly a month since the last show that we did together. So excited to get this one started. Of course, you can follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at JRCO underscore Bucs, and at E Klosky WTSP. How likely is it that the Buccaneers jump into the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes since Baltimore placed the non-exclusive tag on him? Well, one of our listeners wants to know, so that will be coming up in just a little bit. But first, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers released left tackle Donovan Smith on Tuesday in a move that surprised nobody. Smith struggled a lot in 2023, and the Bucs will now save about $10 million in cap space. The Bucs opted to outright release him right now, even though a post-June 1st cut could have saved about $15 million. But this was certainly the right move for the Buccaneers, not only to help the cap situation, but also to help the pass protection, to help the run blocking. But where is the replacement going to come from? Because now you have a gaping hole at the most important spot on an offensive line. So, Evan, In your opinion, taking a look at this, Donovan Smith, 8 years with the team, second round pick, Super Bowl champion, had his best season as a professional football player in that Super Bowl run. But do they go all in on a franchise left tackle in day one of the draft now?
Well, I think the theme of this season coming up is all this draft capital they spent the past couple of years and put to the wayside. They're going to start seeing what these guys have, and it's going to be a youth movement. We know that. So what I would imagine happens is Tristan Wirfs testing out the left side. If you're going to pay him all this money, which again, moving him to the left side gives him a little tiny bump in money, what he would normally get, though he's going to get paid regardless. But
oh yeah,
if he has success on the left side, it's going to be even that much more. But we're pretty convinced that the Bucs are going to lock down Tristan Wirfs after the season. They don't really have it doesn't make sense to do it right now while he's a small cap number, but surely they will take care of that next year. Move him over to left tackle, then give Luke Goedeke a real shot at his more natural position of right tackle. You can then swing over Robert Hainsey to guard, which was the original intention, though they did think that he was going to be a center with Ryan Jensen not re-signing here once Tom Brady left. But now that you have Ryan Jensen, move him over the guard, and absolutely, he can still be the backup center, just like he was a couple of years ago and what he was going to be last year until getting thrust into that role. And then I would imagine you're probably going to extend Shaq Mason by a year, mostly for cap reasons, which I forget the exact number off my head, but extending him will be able to push a bunch of money down the road to where his current cap hit would be small, which is just fine. They're going to have to do that with a handful of players, but again, they will be able to manage that in the future by taking care of a lot now versus, you know, New Orleans kicking the can all the way down to the 2033 and then doing it again. It just, one of these days they're going to have to figure out to pay the salary cap, but this year is not that day. So that's what I think is going to happen with the offensive line. If someone falls in her lap, you know, it's funny. Was it Darnell Wright from Tennessee? Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that he was kind of moving in the combine gave me a little bit of Tristan Wirf vibes of just how athletic he is. If they're able to snag someone, I think that maybe that gives you the flexibility to flip-flop Wirfs with that person and then also move Gedeky back to guard and Hainsey on the interior, and now you've built some more depth. But I just have a feeling that they're going to try to give it a shot without investing too much in the O-line this year and really attack some other positions in the draft because they are so needy with A, speed, B, defense, C, pass rush, especially on the interior. So I just don't see offensive line being high on their board, especially because they did use a second-round pick last year to get Gedeky. And, you know, a couple years prior or, you know, year prior getting Wirfs. It just seems like, you know, and they had Hainsey in the third round. Wirfs first, Hainsey third, Gedeky second. So, I mean, they've done their due diligence on the O-line. They might want to hit the pause button to restock other areas and then circle back maybe next year with another offensive line pick.
I certainly could see that being an absolute possibility. And the idea of moving Wirfs, I mean, you're looking at a season now where you're not going to fill every need on this roster in the draft or in free agency. You're looking at a minimum 2 off-season rebuild or reload or retool, whatever you want to call it, in order to get back into playoff contention or at least legitimate playoff contention. So maybe they do experiment with Wirfs over on the left side and move Gedeky back to the position he played in college. You mentioned Hainsey playing the position he played at Notre Dame because you do still have Ryan Jensen. But at the same time, you don't want to miss on talent, right? So if you see a Skoronski or a Paris Johnson Jr. starting to fall a little bit further than expected, Jason Light's also not a guy who's going to shy away from trying to make a move if one of those guys is a player that they really love. And they're like, you know what? We can lock up the left side of this line for the next decade opposite of the best right tackle in football for the next decade. And there isn't an edge rush combination in the NFL that's going to be able to get to whoever our quarterback is. So I do agree with you. The kind of all options are on the table. They're not going to go out and spend big money on who's the guy from Kansas City that thinks he's special because his dad played.
Orlando Brown.
That's the one. You know, it's all options are out there. And maybe this is kind of the, you know what, we know where we are. We know where we stand. We know what our deficiencies are. We're not championship contenders, even in the NFC, which is the weaker division. Why don't we give this a shot? They experimented with Ali Marpet at a couple of different positions and all of them worked. There's no reason why Wirfs couldn't work as well.
Yeah. And let me just say this about Donovan Smith. Obviously the right decision given the financial needs, you know, and the season that just happened for him. It was unequivocally a disaster coming off of probably his best season in the National Football League. So that's weird. I mean, I think there are a handful of teams who would love to take the risk on Donovan Smith as last year being a one-off. The Buccaneers should not be that team. I just hope that despite the sour ending, I mean, you know, we were hard on Donovan Smith because it was hard to watch. And that's just the objective thought, not really going below the belt. That's just what you see. That's what the tape says. But I hope there is an appreciation of what he brought to this franchise, 131 starts. I think he missed 6 games in 8 years with 3 of them last year. Four of them last year. He was really battling a lot physically and mentally. It was a weird season for him. So, you know, we wish him best, but certainly a necessary move for Tampa Bay and the right decision based off of what we saw and what this team needs to do moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. And David and I stood up for Donovan numerous times on this show throughout his tenure with the Buccaneers. And I like him. I do. I'm with you 100%. I wish him all the best. I hope he lands with a team that he can help out and maybe continue his quest for another Super Bowl. But like you said, that won't be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the question is, where do they go next? We will continue to dive into that. But it's also time for Evan to dive in to the mock draft fun. We have that coming up next on Locked On Bucks. Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. Just if you stray away from the NBA, maybe don't bet on the Tampa Bay Lightning if you're placing hockey bets. Just my own personal opinion.
The man is salty.
FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. And now it's Mock Draft Wednesday. Yeah, it's Mock Draft Wednesday.
Evan, it's the offseason. Let's get weird.
On all of the mock draft fun. So since we have so many submissions, we wanted to give him a chance to react to one of our listener mock drafts. Now, of course, this time next week, Evan and I will be all in on the free agent frenzy because that's all going to be going down. So let's give Evan a chance to jump in on the mock draft fun. And this one comes from our buddy Tyler via email. That's lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. And he says, gentlemen, I hope this email finds you well. Longtime listener, first time emailer, and first time submitting a mock draft to the show. I would like to hear your thoughts about the possibility of trading down to help fill out some of these holes the Bucks will need to plug after some of the cuts we are going to see. Here is my draft. The first round, he has the Buccaneers trading with the New York Giants, giving them pick number 19 so that, as he puts it, they can get a solid wide receiver for Danny Dimes. And in return, the Buccaneers receive 25, 89, and 128. So with the 25th pick, Evan, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Donovan Smith's replacement, Oklahoma tackle Anton Harrison. Had the chance to speak with him at the combine. That is a big dude. That is a very big dude. That is a very confident guy. I liked a lot of what he had to say, but what do you think of the idea of not only trading back, getting the additional firepower in the draft, but then still having the probable Donovan Smith replacement fall in your lap there at 25?
So I have nothing against a player. As I just kind of mentioned five or so minutes ago, I'm just not a firm believer in this team using another high draft pick on an offensive lineman. So I actually, you're going to listen to me for the next month and a half talk about, and Jason Light loves to do this, making a trade down. Last year, he made a trade up for Zion McCollum. I think this year, trading down might be the best move for this team, unless certain players drop to them. And we'll have plenty of time to dissect the draft. But in my opinion, I really think with this draft stocked heavily at cornerback, I don't see why this team would not invest, which Jason Light has a long history of doing as GM of the Buccaneers. He likes to draft cornerbacks, has certainly used a lot of high value draft picks. I would say high value is the first or third round on defensive backs. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of them going this year, my guess is that's where I would imagine trading back would help you because it is so deep at that position. I would hope it's, in a similar scenario of why they did it for Logan Hall last year, where they had a clump of players on their board. And they said, you know what? We like all of them. So what we're going to do is get out of the first round, get away from that money, and let's go into the second round and start there. And that, I wonder if that scares them a little bit, because I think they told us last year that literally every person on their board then got drafted, which pretty much left Logan Hall as their last option, which, you know, remains to be seen how effective that pick was. It's no shade to Logan Hall. It's just, I think that they thought they would have more options, and they were kind of left with whatever was left on the board, which was one name. You know, if I remember what they said last year correctly, it was something along that. So I like trading back. Offensive line, not 100% sold. That's the move to do. And I know we have a lot of hindsight bias right now with Donovan Smith news, but that's just my two cents.
Yeah, David and I are generally team trade back. And I think Tyler found the sweet spot here. If you can fall back into the mid-20s and pick up at least one day two pick in exchange, that's perfection right there. Mm-hmm. I do like the pick. I like Anton Harrison a lot. Like I said, if you have one of these franchise guys that could fall in your lap and protect the blind side for the next decade, I'm all about it, because the Bucks have so many needs that you can justify taking about 9 different positions in the first round. Just my opinion. But Tyler moves on. Day two. Evan, I already know you're not going to like his second round pick. That's okay, because I do. With the 50th pick in round two, the Buccaneers select TCU offensive lineman Steve Avila. Then in round three, with pick 82, that is the Buccaneers' third round pick, they get Syracuse cornerback Garrett Williams. And then with the 89th pick that they got in the trade with the Giants, Texas linebacker DeMarvion Overshown. So two offensive linemen, a corner, and a linebacker, all in the top 90 picks. I think Tyler's killing it. I know you want to.
I mean, I'm okay with one. Like, if they fall into a lineman, like, I'm not going to hate them for drafting a lineman. I'm just telling you that it's not like on a team that needs so much, I don't see offensive line as that much of a need, especially with back-to-back offensive line picks. That one's a for sure no. Like, I can live with that first round pick at offensive line. I think you're just kind of neglecting a lot more needs, but I'm cool with the pick. Let that be known. Back-to-back O-line, nuh-uh. No, they got too many needs. Get away from the O-line. They got tons of depth there. Let's move on. Let's find something else. I do like the fact that you are thinking linebacker, though. This team needs, absolutely, positively needs a linebacker in this draft. And preferably one that can step in right away, because I don't think it's out of the question, even though I know there was a stir with Devin White and his pictures on Instagram and yada, yada, yada. But let's say this season just goes south, right? Which, no pun intended to the division they're in, it very well could, because, you know, Kyle Trask is a starter right now. We have no idea what they're going to get.
Not good is what they're going to get.
What happens if the team, who probably doesn't want to commit $100 million to Devin White, is able to trade him at the trade deadline for something?
Yeah.
Because I do imagine, unless Levante 1,000% wants out, it would behoove the Bucks to bring Levante back for strictly salary cap reasons, even beyond like the talent and how much he's beloved in the community. That's obvious. But, you know, if you're going to carry dead money from him, might as well bring him back for a small upcharge versus letting him go and paying him to be somewhere else. That just makes no sense. So I think they got to do whatever they can to make that work. But I like the linebacker position. I think 1,000% that is a spot we will see drafted, along with, that wasn't mentioned, tight end will for sure be addressed, as well as defensive back in some regard.
Yeah, the only complaint that I have about this, and I do like Steve Avila. I don't mind the back-to-back offensive lineman. I just would have much rather seen that the second round was Illinois safety Sidney Brown.
And local kid. Sort of.
So rapid fire on day three here. In the fourth round at pick 128, the Buccaneers get UAB running back Dwayne McBride. In the fifth round at 155, the Bucks get Maryland cornerback Jakorian Bennett. Also in the fifth round at pick 175, the Bucks get Penn State offensive lineman Juice Scruggs. That dude's something else. I like Juice.
That's a third offensive lineman, by the way.
Yep. Sixth round at pick 181, the Buccaneers get Oklahoma defensive lineman Jalen Redmond. Round six at pick 196, they get Florida safety Trey Dean III. Round seven at 232, they get Penn State tight end Brenton Strange. That is my dude. That is my day three tight end dude for this team. And finally, with the 253rd pick, the Buccaneers get Michigan kicker Jake Moody to replace Ryan Suckup, who's probably going to be a cap casualty.
I do not love his alma mater, but I do love him. He's got ice in his veins. I mean, he is a great kicker. So, again, looking at that draft, my notes are too many offensive linemen. I think a lack of defensive backs, considering what the team is probably going to lose in free agency, and really not addressing the defensive line appropriately for an organization that says they need to get faster. They need more speed. They need more speed on the D-line, and they need more speed at wide receiver. Now, they just spent a third-round pick on Rashad White last year. We like that one, right? Mm-hmm. We are firm believers in Rashad. With Dave Canales, we know that another running back has to come in. You know, that's just the way that Seattle always worked, too, even when they drafted Rashad Penny in the first round, which was a terrible pick, even though Rashad Penny could possibly trickle over to Tampa Bay in a show-me type deal for a year and make him a 1-2 punch with Rashad White. I think there's a possibility that the Bucs do not draft running back and actually just go the undrafted free agent route, or spend a minuscule amount of money on a free agent running back, because let's be honest, the money for running back is really not that much because teams are scared away by it. So to offer a show me deal might be the route to go with some talented people like Rashad Penny, who can come in, knows that system, and help out Rashad, you know, get accustomed to that. I think that's pretty helpful. And Rashad Penny would be a coup if he can stay healthy, which he has never had. So that's maybe a risk that I think a team like Tampa Bay should take entering this year, and sort of addressing other things. So, you know, maybe that fourth round pick could be something else to maybe get that corner back in the deep draft. Maybe you get a different tight end a little bit higher up, because the draft picks, you got to remember those have to also be special teamers for the most part. They better be doing some dirty work if they're going to be making the team, which is typically how Jason Light likes to fill out the end of his drafts based on history.
All right. Well, Tyler does go on to say, I recognize somewhere in there the Bucks would probably trade up on day two or three with the additional picks that they got, but I thought I would trade down in the first and go from there. So that is from Tyler McCann. If you want to send in your mock drafts, of course, you can do so at LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com or slide into the DMs on Twitter at LockedOnBucks. So, Tyler, great job. You addressed a lot of needs.
Thank you.
You went a little O-line heavy for Evan's liking, but I enjoyed it. Depth is always a good thing in the trenches. And like I said, this is a two-year plan, y'all. So best player available at a lot of positions of need. And then what doesn't happen this year can always happen next year. But coming up next, we are going to talk about how likely it is whoever the offensive linemen in Tampa are will be protecting Lamar Jackson in 2023. That is coming up next here on Locked On Bucks. Wrapping things up here on a WTSP Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, we got another Twitter question sent in from our buddy Ken Dell at @Jet_SetterLife on Twitter. He slid into Locked On Bucks DMs and he says, Sports Illustrated reported that Lamar Jackson might get the non-exclusive franchise tag. I know it's a snowball's chance in HE double hockey stick emojis that he comes to Tampa. Do you think the Glazers would give up two first rounders? And he goes on to say the hockey sticks are a shout out to James Sun and the nonstop hockey trips. Kendall, I appreciate you. We're heading to St. Louis this weekend for a tournament. And then we get back from the tournament on Monday, and he's got tryout training camp Monday night. So we're right back into the thick of things. Hockey doesn't end basically until the end of April, but no longer has practice on Tuesday nights, which means WTSP Wednesday is back.
And he's healthy. And he's back.
So
keep him that way.
That's right. Jackson did, in fact, now Kendall sent this in around like 12:30 in the afternoon. So after he sent this DM, Lamar Jackson did, in fact, get the non-exclusive tag so that he can speak with other teams. They can make him offers. Baltimore can match that offer. And the offering team can end up with sending two first round picks to the Baltimore Ravens, which is actually like kind of a discount in a trade for Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
And the non-exclusive tag is $32.41 million this season. Evan, your thoughts on the Glazers, as Kendall put it, but I'm going to say Jason Light and the regime there in Tampa, not only giving up two first rounders, but then having to try to figure out how to fit $33 million into a salary cap. They're already still $40 million over right now.
Theoretically, they can figure it out, but they're already halfway through the rebuild process with the releases coming. So it doesn't seem likely. Should they try to figure out a way to make it happen? Absolutely. It seems pretty obvious around NFL circles that owners are going to make it very clear that guaranteed contracts are not going to be a trend after whatever the Browns just did for Deshaun Watson. They are going to leave the Browns on an island and say, you know, it's going to be pseudo collusion, not quite anything that's provable, but they're pretty much going to send a message to Lamar. Look, you're not getting a guaranteed contract, so there's no point in even engaging. And I don't think the Glazers would give him a fully guaranteed contract as well. So I think that's out of the question. And remember, even though you give up the draft picks, the Ravens still have the right to match that offer. So to actually convince the Ravens that getting the two first round picks and not matching their offer for a superstar quarterback like Lamar Jackson is going to happen, you are going to have to so overpay on Lamar. And in overpaying, that comes with all the guarantees. And you are sinking a financially strapped ship even further into the hole as you were starting to see air. It's like, we're going back down. So I would love for the Bucks to grab Lamar Jackson. They would be relevant for the next 8 years at least with a guy like that.
Minimum.
Yeah. And you just tinker your system to figure it out. But I don't think that's the curveball that they were ever going to swing at. I don't see it lined up. I think there are plenty of other organizations. Like the Falcons saying we're not going to even discuss it is mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling for a squad that's swimming in money, has no quarterback, and pretty much that's the tea leaves of why it seems ridiculous that especially with the Falcons and how often they run the ball and how they've built that. That makes no sense. So that's why it's really fishy, really fishy. But I don't see it. I have a very, very low percentage. And by very low, I mean, we're talking 1-2%.
I was going to say less than 1%.
And that's just being generous.
I agree with you wholeheartedly for all the reasons that you just stated. The Buccaneers, they have a window now where they know they have to retool the team and get out from this cap situation. You're not going to turn around and put yourself back in that financial situation as you're starting to get out of it. If you're going to give up two first round picks, you might as well go all in and trade up in the draft to take Anthony Richardson, because I think Anthony Richardson has an even higher upside than Lamar Jackson does. He has things that he has to work on. There's no doubt about it. He is still somewhat of a project, but guess what? All of the money that he would make in 5 years of that rookie deal is probably less than you're going to pay Lamar Jackson for 1 year on your team. I would take that chance giving up the draft capital than I would giving up the two first plus the overpay to force Baltimore to say no and turn that into a whole thing. So as much fun as it would be and as exciting as this team would be and as much fun as Dave Canales would have with Lamar Jackson under center for the Buccaneers, I think you're better off selling the farm to move up in the draft for Anthony Richardson, who is going to be far more cost effective for what you're trying to do and could still be just as good, if not better, than the guy you would have to pay $50 million a year to.
Yeah, as far as Anthony Richardson, he made himself a lot of money at the NFL Combine. I know that personally. I still think everyone is getting well ahead of themselves with Combine tape, cool highlights,
sure,
and ignoring the fact that he is not an accurate passer. And all I know is when I talk with quarterbacks, coaches, when I've listened to head coaches who are offensive minds, who came up through quarterback coaching in that tree, the number one thing they look for is accuracy. So unless you're going to bring him in and build a system that's very RPO, very much relying on his athleticism and throwing off of that, like, I mean, essentially making him like a full-time Taysom Hill, except with a little bit more throwing, a lot more throwing. And I mean, Taysom Hill doesn't really throw it that much, but pretty much in this sort of making him a pseudo runner. I don't know. Lamar and his stats coming out of college, like, he could throw the ball, right? I mean, like, there was success on tape of him doing it. Just people didn't think he can do it at the next level. And he wasn't as maybe accurate as people would have liked. But if you were to compare Lamar's tape to what we see from Anthony Richardson consistently over time, not just the highlights you shove in front of me of a great 3 minutes, there's a strong difference there. So I understand why some franchises should take a risk and draft Anthony Richardson. You can't teach what he has athletically. Yeah. But to me, I think that's a pretty tall project for a team that's in a project mode to do. You would rather bring him into a situation where there's a lot of firm pieces aligned with him to focus on that, and especially a quarterback to where he can sit back a little bit versus thrusting him into a spot where the expectations are a bit too high early on. So that's my two cents on Anthony Richardson. I'm a little bit more down on him than the general public, the contrarian in me, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he is still a project. So he could be the worst of the first round quarterbacks. Or again, the upside is that he ends up being one of the most electric quarterbacks in the National Football League. That's the risk you take with the draft. That's why there's no such thing as a sure thing, except I'm sure that we are done with this episode. So we want to thank you for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or view of the day. Now make your second listen, Locked On NFL Draft. Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects like Anthony Richardson, with deep dives into sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite NFL franchise. Find the Locked On NFL Draft podcast wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. David will be back tomorrow. Check out everything that Evan is doing over on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10tampabay.com. Check out my work over at bucksnation.com. Send in your mock drafts, your free agency ideas, questions, topics, concerns, hopes, dreams, fears,
food recommendations,
Ohio State slander, all
don't do that.
Locked On Bucks podcast, nope. gmail.com. Follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at @JArco_Bucks, and at @EKlosky WTSP. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.